Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Minnesota for senior night on Sunday, March 6th at 6:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. On Monday's show, I'm sure we will be talking about the arbitrary drop-dead date that Major League Baseball placed on the negotiations, and I expect that we will be at that drop-dead date for them to lose games off of their schedule. I forgot to mention today, congratulations to DePaul. Big win over Georgetown last night, 68-65. Blue Demons are a game under 500 for the season, which is great, and they will not finish last in the Big East. That will be Patrick Ewing's team, because they have not won a game in Big East play. They are 0-16. And with that, I bring you Parkins and Spiegel. Hello, boys.
It's just sad to see Georgetown struggle, isn't it, Lawrence?
Wherever DePaul can get wins is pretty much how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty entertaining this year, so.
Good.
It's nice. I'm not just turning off games. Like that's
progress.
That's how good. Like Javon Freeman Liberty has been so good. They had the first triple double in DePaul history this year, so that's a step in the right direction, I guess. Which is weird because I would have thought that Mikan would have had one. Like just you know, like when you start thinking about the people that could have had one.
Cummings never had one. Tyrone Corbin never
Aguirre,
had one.
You know, like there's a lot of great players in the history of. Of DePaul buckets.
Dallas Comegys never had one?
Nope.
Come on.
No, I'm telling you.
Tommy Kleinschmidt never had one?
Well, TK was shooting, so I don't know if he was going to be.
He wasn't going to be passing?
Shout out to TK. He has really done a great job. He's one of the best high school coaches in the state now.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's cool. Well, I feel like the joke now is that Jess Settles was at Iowa for what, 7 years? 9 years? When I was a kid, I was convinced that Dallas Comegys had been at DePaul for a decade.
Well, it's also fun to play that game whenever you hear Jason Benetti and Robbie Hummel together, because you do that with Robbie Hummel because I think he was at Purdue for 6 years.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's just every once in a while you get some people like that.
But now it's because all of the students that have been playing inside of COVID have gotten an extra year. Like I looked up, so speaking of DePaul, I looked up last night after the crazy Illini game and after the Bulls game. I'm watching Tiger Campbell still point guard UCLA. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wasn't that 10 years ago when he said he was going to DePaul and then he decided he wasn't going to DePaul?
Wow, yeah. That was a recruiting story. So you had that. You had the added year of relevance in your mind.
It's anyway. Just crazy. Like seeing some of these guys like, wow, they've been at their places for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. And that's good. I think the more opportunity there is for anyone to get free education, we've got literally on our downtown campus. So Radio DePaul, I usually teach my class out of the radio station there. It's coming up this quarter, so I'm looking forward to it. But right across the hall is the eSports Lab.
Wow.
It's amazing. What?
It can't possibly be honoring the games that Ruben plays. He plays the stupidest video games of all time. It's like...
You sound so old when you do this,
man. I know. Like, but
what's stupid about his video games?
Well, he's on Roblox playing like, hey, I'm playing a shopping simulator. And so he's shopping. And then he'll be doing another one. It's like, oh, I'm playing Weightlifter Simulator. And it's like, all right, you're weightlifting. And so he just.
Do you ever play Paperboy?
Yeah.
I loved Paperboy.
I loved Paperboy too. But I know. Think about how dumb that concept sounds.
I know. But you know, these Roblox games, it's like they're designed by another kid who's like 6 months older, you know? And like, that's the game that they're playing. And everyone is just another variety. And he's like, I'm just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, how are you doing that? I keep hitting the mouse over and over and over again. I'm like, what am I doing allowing you to do this, sir?
Yeah, so, and then when he ends up at a scholarship for DePaul in 7 years, then who's going to look like the idiot?
Hopefully not him is my goal.
No, you.
Oh, me.
Definitely not him.
Got it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, maybe so.
I just put it into the ether right now.
Okay.
Esports athlete, Ruben Spiegel, DePaul class of, what class would he be? What is he, 9?
Oh, man, he's 10. Yeah, he's in 4th grade, so add 8 more years. That's just for high school.
And then 4 more after that.
12, class of 2034.
Yeah, take that, Matt Spiegel.
Man.
The price of a year of tuition at that point will be
$100 million.
It's just outrageous.
It's all right.
Or
I made
it'll
my
be free.
I made my first investment last night in his college education.
Yeah.
Put $100 on DeMar DeRozan for MVP at +1,000.
I like it.
You've got a 529 too. Ruben's going to be okay for everybody out there who's panicking.
No, I took that out of the 529.
Oh, okay. All on DeMar, which is a good bet right now.
Yeah. It's a DeMar 29 what it is now.
I went with DeMar over 28.5 last night.
Oh, I heard you give that away. And make sure people sign up on FanDuel with the promo code Matt. MATFNT.
You guys. MATFNT.
Code Wars.
MATT.
Excuse me. There's no
thank you.
In there. Yeah.
It's just so funny to see like Lawrence tweeting out his winner after the game goes final.
I only tweet the winners.
Yeah, you only tweet the winners. Classic move. Spiegs is, you know, his plug.
I did go big, though. It was 10 units last night on DeMar.
Good for you. Unit 10, 20, 30, 40?
20.
20. All right, that's big.
I don't have any money.
No, that's big. That's a big bet. On a player prop for one game. But, I mean, they got to keep inflating it, man. He's coming for Jordan's record.
Well, that's what made me look at it, because the last game that I bet the DeMar over and cashed on was 31.5. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's averaging 28 a game. So you're telling me 28.5? Man, he going over.
Yeah, I thought probably just that Zach was back and that maybe a little rust post All-Star game, and he wouldn't have to shoulder the load as much, right, with Zach being back?
Yep.
Yeah, well that's the thing.
Didn't work
so,
out that way.
Well, what are we to glean from this with Zach back, with Kobe White hot, with Vooch taking a whole bunch of shots, whether he's making them or not? Boy, he was awkward. That DeMar still got up all his shots and all his buckets. Why not? If you're the Bulls, and it's not like Zach has an ego about it or an issue with it. Zach just wants to win, and he's ready to fill in the blanks. I think DeMar might keep scoring like this.
I agree. Until everyone finds their way back into this thing, I think that he's good enough at scoring to understand there are going to be moments in the game that where he has to get his or the team is going to lose, which is amazing because he's also, it's so weird to say this, he's also really unselfish. Like he did it last night where they're doubling and trying to trap him. He's passing out of it. He didn't get the assist, but he gets the hockey assist on baskets that are scored. It's hard to really describe his game, because if you were just looking at, well, this guy scores a lot, you would think that he's a selfish player, and he's the farthest thing from it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, his passing's been great, and, you know, he's talked about developing that part of his game more with Popovich in San Antonio when he was playing different things. I found myself thinking about when Derrick Rose would be guarded by LeBron at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, what he did all regular season changed, because it was like, all right, you want to go down with the guy with the ball in your best player's hand, but then in the postseason, You're getting maximum defensive effort from the best players and the best athletes in the world, and they will just make your secondary option beat you. So for DeMar, there's going to, because I mean, he hits it over, he hits it with a hand in his face, you're right. He hits it with double teams, you're right. But in a postseason series, it's possible that like the guy guarding him is going to be Giannis or Evan Mobley.
In some of those moments, for sure.
You know, like at the end of games, yeah. when he's the leading fourth quarter scorer in the NBA. But I think what this team has, like what you're talking about, Lawrence, like there's going to be times when DeMar is going to be down one fourth quarter, ball in his hands, but it's a 7-footer guarding him. And Zach is probably going to have to be the dude who hits the shot, or Vooch is going to be the guy who has to hit the shot because he'll pass.
It was interesting last night, Danny. There was a moment where DeMar is being doubled, and the double team goes to the corner. Like, he faked a pass to the corner, and both guys went to the corner, and then it opened up another passing lane for him, and he was able to, the Bulls ended up getting the bucket. I marvel at this, man. Like, he's just so damn fun to watch. The angles with which he finds these opportunities to score, it's top-notch basketball viewing.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of talk last night, and I understand the initial reaction of, man, Kevin Huerter was late. He's late getting over for the double team. Is Kevin Huerter's late to get over there for the double team? But the truthful realization comes a little bit later when you realize DeMar sees that that's where the double's coming from. So
yep.
He doesn't give them time to do it. He immediately goes left and spins away in addition and rises up. So he knows that even before the double team can even be utilized, before it can even be called out, he's up in the air. And the double team's coming late because that dude, as he has said before, like Floyd Mayweather, he's adding data all game long. He's adding data until there he is, you know, strengthening the algorithm there at the end until it executes perfectly. It's a marvel.
Nice debut from Tristan Thompson last night, too.
Yeah, I mean, all around, man, like IO on Trae Young defensively is great. Tristan Thompson is going to be a fan favorite and obviously helps the second unit a lot and still has a lot left. I found myself last night, and not that this is necessarily entirely a new feeling, but please get healthy. Like, please get healthy. I just want to see it.
That's the thing, right? Like, just want to see what the depth chart could look like, what the rotation could be.
I don't know if they can win. I know that they most likely can't win if they're not healthy. And, you know, Philly has had injury issues and personnel issues, and Brooklyn, obviously. And, you know, Milwaukee's pretty damn healthy outside Brooke Lopez. But, like, if the Bulls, who have had terrible injury luck, get good injury luck at the right time, I just want to see it so that if they do lose in the second round or in the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever it is, we will have some clarity on, well, that team got healthy and they lost to Giannis or they lost to Embiid or they lost to KD or whatever it is, but we at least won't have the, yeah, but would it have been different if they would have had Lonzo?
Right. It's a clear picture of kind of where they need to go from here.
Yeah, because it is so
healthy,
enjoyable.
And you don't get to, you can just be like, all right, now we know kind of what they need to do next and how they need to approach this. I'm with you on that. I really would like to see, I also would like to see what the end game five is. Like, what Billy Donovan's going to be testing, because you've got a lot of different combinations that you could throw out there depending on situation. There are going to be nights when you want Vooch's offense on the floor in game, but not his defense. There are going to be nights when you might, with 5 minutes left in the game, even though Zach is one of your premier players, you might want to run out there with Lonzo, Caruso, and DeMar as your wing guys. So it's going to be very interesting. It's great that he might have that problem of, I've got way too much talent. that I got to figure out how to get Io his minutes because he's smart. How to get Kobe White his minutes because I might need some offense like that. How to switch it all out and what rotations he's going to use. It's going to be fascinating.
I can't see them doing many closing lineups in close games without Zach, but they could go really small, where we saw it a little bit at the beginning of the year when everyone was healthy. Like, it could be Caruso, Ball, Zach, DeMar, and Vooch, and then you've got obviously some offense-defense problems there, but if Patrick Williams is healthy, can he be a small athletic five depending on a matchup? The problem is the East is big and tough. Like, Miami's big, Philly's big, Cleveland's obviously very big.
Toronto is long. Like, everybody has some stuff like that. I mean,
the Bulls are the outlier of the contenders in the Eastern Conference.
But see, that's why, like, I don't see Patrick Williams as a five defender. And you could see it last night. There's a difference. Like, even though he and Tristan Thompson are about the same height, there's a difference in the way that they're built and gameplay. Thompson understands that I don't need the ball. I will make my points off of putbacks. And he relishes the idea of I'm going to be a physical rebounder for this team. With Williams, I think that he's better suited and he projects better as, do you have a tough matchup on the wing? Is there someone that you want to throw his length at and his foot speed and being able to move laterally on the wing? I think that's where he could be more beneficial to them as a defender, which could end up being great if you pair him for spurts with Lonzo and Caruso out there. Like, that could be a really fun defensive force for
you. Well, and don't you think that Billy Donovan is going to find himself not addicted, but certainly feeling affection for Tristan Thompson's energy, for his relentlessness around the basket, for his offensive rebounding, for the fact that his voice is telling people to get physical, and his presence is making people be more physical.
Like, yes.
They've got a lot of work to do to adjust to life with Tristan when he's on the floor, but if they adjust to that in a really good way and start getting some easy buckets because of him, then, look, I could see that dude in some closing lineups, frankly. And I know that would be a blow to Vooch's confidence, but every once in a while, I could see that dude being a fit. Not against some of the longer and bigger teams that you're talking about, Danny, in terms of Tristan and no Vooch, but against certain matchups, man, I could see Tristan being out there.
And there's going to be nights where Vooch is popping trays, too. You know, on those nights where Vooch has got it going from the outside. And he played a pretty good game last night. It was 10-10, right? 12-10 for him last night.
He was really rushing the offense and the shots. His discomfort kind of came back offensively for me. It's first game back. We'll see. But he was moving fast and missing a bunch of shots that he shouldn't miss, which was what it felt like from the beginning of the year. How about that stat that Amin had? That with Alex Caruso on the floor, the Bulls have the best defensive rating in the NBA, and when he's not on the floor, they're 29th.
How about that?
That was bananas to think about. Just the effect of that one dude in terms of the contagion of what he does, and of course the physicality of what he actually does.
They're awesome, man. Like, they have the ability to. I still think they can win the East. I really do.
We're the three pack that believes that.
That's right.
Couldn't
we get longer odds now?
Because if you look at these teams.
That's a good question.
What'd you say?
Couldn't we get longer odds now?
Should we cash out and reinvest?
I don't think so, actually. I think for a minute it had like gone to 19, and I want to say they're 15-1 right now, but let me see. I can pull it up.
We got them at 16?
We got them at 16.
Yeah, they're 15-1 right now.
Okay. All right. So we can't get more.
But see, like, this is so ridiculous. Like, Milwaukee's the favorite, Brooklyn right behind, Philly right behind, Miami right behind.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell are the Celtics 7.5-1 to win the East and the Bulls are 15-1 to win the East?
People are starting to believe in the Celtics. They're on a little bit of a run right now. Tatum's playing out of his mind.
Yeah, Tatum's amazing, and they're on a streak. I understand, but The Celtics are 7.5-1 to win the East, and the Bulls are 15-1 to win the East. That does not make any sense.
That is not a better roster or a better coached team right now, the Celtics, than this Bulls bunch. Hey, while Lawrence is here, I need to do this. Every once in a while, I have to reset the rankings. You know, I reset the Mike White rankings a while back. The Mark Davis rankings need to be reset immediately. Number one is the Cy Young Award winner from 1989 with 44 saves as a Padre. Number two is the Raiders owner. He's worth more, Danny. You know that, but the haircut sets
him
back.
Knocks him down.
So he's number two. Number three on the Mark Davis rankings is Mark Davis, the animator from Disney, one of Disney's nine old men animators. He designed Snow White.
Good call.
And most famously, the sole animator to create and craft Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians. So very strong. Number four on the Mark Davis rankings, a talk show host who I'd never heard of at 6:60 a.m. The Answer down in Texas. Number five is the NBA ref Mark Davis with all his dumbass late whistles last night. And teeing up DeMar, teeing up Kobe later. I believe he was teed up. No, maybe it was just a regular foul. But all those late-ass whistles. Mark Davis out there waiting for the ball not to go in. So he then calls a foul like five different times, disrupting play, disrupting possible defensive rebounds and outlets. If it's a foul, it's a foul. You don't wait to see if the shot went in. So that drops him down to five in the official Mark Davis rankings.
I thought that my television was on delay. I'm like, what's going on? Like, is the audio not syncing up with the video or something? I'm like, oh, no, they're just late calls that are happening.
So late, right?
There's a Mark Davis who played in the NBA. Why is current bad ref Mark Davis above?
Because he needed to get that Mark Davis take on.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Right.
Who's the Mark Davis who played in the NBA? I don't remember that guy.
I just Googled Mark Davis.
You did?
Yeah.
You sure he played, or is it the ref you're talking about?
No,
with the C or the K?
He's got stats.
Was he a pacer?
He appears to have played for quite a few teams. The Timberwolves, Sixers, Heat, and Warriors.
Oh. I was thinking the Davis brothers.
Yeah.
A five-year career for this Mark Davis.
How about that? Johnny Davis was his son who played for Wisconsin. Johnny and Jordan.
Look at all these Davises.
All right, well, you know, I'll put him five. That's fine. He can get in there, and the ref drops down to six.
Yeah, get him out of here with those late
get
whistles.
Get out of here. Yeah. That's right.
Tough times.
Glad I got that in.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that in, too.
Good way to kick off the show, no doubt.
That was huge.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
We begin with DePaul basketball, and we cap it with referees falling out of the top five.
So what are you guys going to do on the show today?
It's an excellent question, Lawrence. We're guestless today, but we are going to welcome Shane back. We are going to discuss DeMar DeRozan's MVP candidacy compared to the three other people that he is contending with. We will discuss what Ian Happ said on the radio station earlier today. The Speaks is going to the Bulls game. The fact that there is no coach as a lead analyst or an analyst on any NFL broadcast team is something we talked about a little bit with Adam Amin yesterday. Sean Payton is apparently a front runner. Wanted to discuss whether or not he'd be good at the job. Matt Nagy has a new job. We got a lot to get into today, man.
Did you guys check your text messages?
I did. I did. That Mark Davis, the NBA ref, apparently a Chicago native and a score listener. If you're out there, Mark, dial us up. Dial us up at 312-644-6767.
Now he's back in the top five.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Hey, we don't speak nicely to refs here or umpires.
I mean,
Danny's got it out for a softball umpire. What's his name? Mike.
He blew the call.
Yeah, Mike.
I don't remember his name.
I love when Tanny looks over to the empty space where Shane might be if he knew the answer. It's one of my favorite things.
Didn't you call the game?
Yeah, I did. Was it Mike Davis?
Mike Davis, that is?
Mike
There's
White?
No way to know.
I did call the game, Lars. It was a long time ago. I don't have my scorebook in front of me. Come on. We had him on our Super Bowl picks segment.
Yeah, the blind umpire picked the Super Bowl for us.
Did he get it right? Or
that's a good question.
Knows?
I don't know.
Probably
don't remember
not.
That either. No, great.
No.
Probably not. Yeah,
Shane?
No follow-up questions,
Where's
Lawrence.
Shane? What's the umpire's name?
It's Mike Lewis. Have some respect.
Mike Lewis. I have respect.
Why?
Danny's the one who doesn't have respect. And still Mike Lewis called
this us. This is my favorite Danny bit, leading into hating this guy.
Who I've never met. And
he's like the nicest guy.
The sweetest guy.
He's unbelievably nice.
Totally professional, excellent softball ref. Just... He can't
just
even
he
hate
blew
on
the biggest call in the biggest moment of the biggest game.
I've never seen Danny be meaner to anyone than he is to softball umpire Mike Lewis. Danny wasn't even at the game.
No.
The angle in which I saw the play was also like from a terrible angle. I have no idea if he got it right or wrong, but I believe he got it wrong.
Worst guy.
He did get that call wrong.
I know.
Yeah, he did.
We won that game on a strikeout looking. For sure.
I agree.
I don't remember.
Get your head out of your ass, Lewis. So that's what we're doing today, Lawrence. Have a good weekend.
It's a lot of bashing of Mike Lewis. Have a great weekend.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Yeah, I agree, Blackjack. None of it.
Whoa, let's not go back into that. Jeez. All right, boys. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful show and weekend.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.